kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
And as long as my cat's not in heat, it's not a problem.
Oh, God.
I heard the chat.
That was terrible when your cat was in heat.
Yeah, she's scheduled to go back soon.
I can't wait for that. That's going to be fun.
And this new mic is way better. It'll pick it up even louder.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the SML Podcast. I am Joe, joined as usual by CJ. CJ, how are you doing?
I'm doing...
No one cares.
Mighty fine. Thanks. God, you're such a dick.
A fun show ahead tonight. We have a guest joining us live right now, and then I also have a second interview that I recorded earlier, and it's just going to be, you know, a couple of hours of stupid fun, like usual, but... Let's talk about the now, the here and now. Joining us from, I have no idea where you're joining us from.
California.
Joining us from California. I'm doing my homework today, let me tell you. Andrew, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
You poor guy joining our dumb show. Is it Andrew Taraba? Taraba?
Yeah, Taraba. You can pronounce it Japanese if you want.
Andrew Taraba.
I think I'll just call you Andrew.
Yeah. Aw.
Do you want us doing the horribly stereotypical Japanese accent?
Do whatever you want. Do whatever you want.
Andrew Taraba, what are you doing today?
God damn it, Joe.
He told me to.
I guess he did.
So, Andrew, tell us about who you are and why you're joining us today.
I am a game developer, and I'm joining you guys because I was told to.
That's the truth.
There's a gun being held to me right now. I don't want to be here, but I'm here.
No. I don't know. I'm not actually a game developer, but that's what I'm doing now. What I used to do was software development and web development, and I want to move into game development, so now I'm posing as a game developer so I can get into the gaming industry. That's the truth.
Fake it till you make it, man. Fake it till you make it.
Well, I mean, you already had some training with the software programming.
Right.
Imagine, how difficult is it to switch from software to gaming?
A lot of the software stuff's built over into game development, and I think for the better, because, I don't know, how much indie gamers do you have on the show?
Quite way too many.
I think something that I really noticed when I moved into indie game industry is... there's a lack of emphasis on money and business. And yeah. So when you're in software, like, that's all there is money, business, stocks, revenue. And when I went into gaming, indie gaming, it seemed kind of backwards. It's the opposite. It's let's make a good product and let's forget about the money. And so, yeah, I come in and I bring in that mentality of profits and whatever. Obviously, we're making $0 right now on this game because it's not released yet. But I'm funding it through the software development that I do on the side, so that's good.
That's awesome. Speaking of which,
where does the mob come in? Where did the mob is in there somewhere, right? For the money laundering.
Maybe.
That's why he's wearing
all
black.
As I said, don't check out my other username because that might lead to something else that you don't want to see.
But I just thought of something. We should probably say what the game is. We haven't said that yet.
So. So you're here to talk to us about the game Tiny Wars.
Yes.
For the people who don't know what Tiny Wars is, give us the sales pitch.
Oh. Okay, so Tiny Wars is a tower defense game. I'm pretty sure most people are clocking out already because that tower defense is the most overused genre ever.
No, MOBA. It's
basically everybody's first game is a tower defense game.
I can see that.
Not match three puzzle.
I think that's good because, one, I think not a lot of people even play tower defense because it just has such a bad reputation. And two, because tower defense is just so overused, people aren't like doing anything new in tower defense. And so when I play all these games, I'm literally playing different games, but they all feel the same because no one's trying anything new. And if you played our prototype, you can see that we did a lot of stuff that hasn't been done in tower defense before. Like changing up the path mid-game and having breaks between some waves and not breaks between other waves and boss fights and things like that. So yeah, just trying something new with tower defense, and most importantly, giving mobile games a story. Tower defense usually doesn't have a story, so that's one of the things.
Which, I was a little bit curious about how what the story's gonna be when the game actually releases, because in the prototype there was like no actual story yet.
Right. The gameplay prototype was just designed to be a just the engine for the gameplay itself, and it had nothing really to do with the story. But I tried to just put little hints in there, like, you know, with the spores and some of the you saw. If you, I don't know if you played it or not. Sorry, Sean didn't update me on this. But
yes,
CJ played it. I have not been able to play it. I just watched a bunch of videos of it. So I think the first time ever, I'm the one going into an interview kind of blind, which is
weird. Yeah, that's true.
It's this is not the most well known game in the world, so I don't expect you to have full knowledge of this. We're still young.
Indeed.
That's true.
Here, I'll show you something actually. Since we have the camera, I don't know if you can see this.
Yeah.
But this is like a really big timeline of all the events that happened in the universe, the tiny universe. And about right here is where the actual events of the game happen.
All right.
So I basically spent maybe a year just sort of mapping this out. Yeah, so there's a really, 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 really well thought out story. I promise if you pay attention, you will like it. But if you're a casual gamer and you don't watch the cutscenes or pay attention to any of that, then you will get a game that has cute little girls and is cute and fun and happy.
If you're a casual gamer and you don't pay attention to story, get the fuck out of here.
Check it out.
That's adorable.
This characters from the prototype. The Fire Witch.
Oh, wow, that is nice. Cool. You actually have little figurines of them.
And will those be in the Indie Box Special Collector's Edition?
Maybe. Perhaps.
That'd be cool.
This is a 3D printed prototype, and then the company that was manufacturing these just disappeared off the face of the planet. So,
oh god!
And they disappeared with the 3D file. So, yeah, I gotta scratch again on that one.
Oh, that sucks, man! And no one else had the 3D file for it.
Nope. When we're developing this game, it's all 2D, so none of us do 3D. So we ended up paying the company to do the 3D files for us, and then they printed the prototype, and then shortly after that, I think they went out of business.
That sucks.
That's life. That's business.
Yeah.
Man.
Anyways, on a brighter note, I don't know. What was your question?
I don't know.
Shit, what was
CJ,
my question?
CJ, what was your question?
I asked, how the story, like, at least at the beginning, what was gonna transpire to make this a quest that happens.
Oh, okay. Are you ready for the most generic tale that you're gonna hear?
Bring it on.
There's two kingdoms of tiny people, and one of the kingdoms is under attack. And these girls set out to save the kingdom. And that's the cute side of the story. So if you don't want to pay attention to anything else and you just play through the game, that's all you're going to get is girls saving the kingdom.
Sounds good.
Sounds like it's going to get dark, too.
And then the tentacles come out.
Lines.
I don't know if you read our latest blog post on our website, but I mentioned that once we release the full game with all the cutscenes and all of the stories implemented, honestly, I will be surprised if it doesn't get an M rating. Because just imagine this, okay? The origins of these tiny people involves being cursed by a witch. Okay?
Okay.
Because they used to be a clan of people that stole. They stole a lot of things from other people, so they're a clan of thieves. And their entire people got cursed, and they became tiny. That way, if they steal from people, you're not even going to notice it, because they steal one carrot from you, and that one carrot will feed the entire village.
That's...
However, the tiny people split up into two factions, because one faction said the only way to uplift this curse that was put on us is if we stop stealing from people and just provide for ourselves. And at some point, you know, they'll become big again. The other faction said, screw that. We're just going to go and commit chaos throughout the world. And at some point they will collide, and that's where all the events in Tiny Wars pick up from there. In between, though, I have a really cool scene planned where the faction of Chaos goes out, and obviously they're going out and disrupting the big people because they were the ones that cursed them. And at some point, they steal from the wrong person, and then the witch that originally cursed them ends up following them back to where their little tiny kingdom is. And that witch is so pissed off that she just starts stepping on them and basically decides that it's time to just eliminate these people altogether. And this is where the two kingdoms kind of come together and stop this witch. And let me tell you, the only way that I can imagine tiny people taking down a big person is if they consume the big person.
Oh,
and
God.
I want to make sure that comes out very detailed in the game.
Okay, that's interesting and kind of messed up.
Have you seen our artwork? None of that, you can't see that coming from based on our characters and our artwork.
Exactly.
Right?
It looks so cute and friendly.
So adorable mini cannibals.
Not all of them. The one faction stays away from that. But the other faction is going to go all in, and as a result of basically eating the flesh of this witch, they become engulfed in magic, in powers, and this is where their magic comes from.
This is incredible.
So there's going to be some fun things happening. I wish I could show you, like, actually show you some cutscenes and stuff, but we don't have anything made, so I'm just blowing smoke at you right now. But maybe in like 6 months from now, I come back on the show and I'll have some clips for you guys and we can play some cutscenes and it'll be fun. But for now, it's all concept. Sorry to disappoint.
It's fine. I'm used to it. I work with Joe. I mean,
what'd I do? Huh?
Nothing. Just you're okay.
I will cut you.
Have fun.
So the game is in prototype right now, correct?
Yes. Right now, it's a gameplay prototype. We just built it just to get the gameplay nailed down, hammer out the glitches, as much glitches as we could, and just streamline the gameplay. Yeah. Now that the gameplay is kind of solidified, I'm pretty happy with where it is. We can start actually building the real levels from the game. And so the plan is to build the first 3 or 4 levels and then release that as a demo. And that will contain the first 4 chapters of the story.
All right, that's a good plan. When about do you think this game will actually be finished?
That's a good question. Because I'm juggling a lot of other work besides this game. Obviously, the game can't pay for itself, so I have to do freelance web development, video production, stuff like that to pay the bills. That really eats away at my time. So I imagine that the demo will come out mid-2017, and maybe the game will be finished by 2018.
All right.
That's the positive plan.
The non-positive plan is like 2024?
hopefully it doesn't come to that. I hope.
Yeah, that would be a long time.
Well, what is the availability of the prototype right now? Is this something that you're going to open up to a wide audience to play, or is it going to be more contained for like idiots like us?
Right. So technically, the prototype is available for anyone to download. If you go on the Google Play Store and you type in Tiny Wars, it'll come up. Apparently, there's actually another game out called Tiny Space War, which is also a tower defense game.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
I have not played it, but it doesn't matter because we have a patent on Tiny Wars anyways.
Yeah, I guess you're okay then.
Take those sons of bitches down.
We're good there. To be fair, that game has been around for a while, so I don't know. I have a couple favorite tower defense games, and that is not one of them.
You're going to have a knife fight with the Tiny War people.
Nah, they're fine. They're fine.
You brought up favorite tower defense games. What was like the biggest one that you enjoyed the most and made you decide to make a tower defense game?
So the one I enjoyed the most was actually not the one that made me decide to make tower defense games. The reason I wanted to make tower defense games is because I played so many horrible tower defense games that I decided, you know what, I'm going to come and I'm just going to do this in 10 times better than these people. But the tower defense game that I played and enjoyed the most is called Radiant Defense. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
I can't say I have.
But it's basically you literally build like towers and you fight off aliens that come through. And what I really love about that game is it's extremely difficult and you have to think and you actually have to have a strategy to beat it. Unlike other tower defense games where you kind of just, the more units you build, you know, you win.
See, that's how I've always played them because I'm not very good at strategy.
Yeah.
Like I was having a really hard time in this demo.
I've seen that. I've watched a lot of the gameplay playthroughs all the way through, and you know, I take notes on what people are doing and how they're playing, and I see that a lot of people don't upgrade the units at all.
I had even with fully upgraded units. I had like two fully upgraded units: one fire witch, and one melee.
That's a mistake.
And I fully upgraded both of them, and then I had one fire and one melee that was not fully upgraded. And I placed them around choke points on this map, but those bug things are really mean and split into five when you kill them, and then all five of those actually hurt your base.
Right.
Do they only hurt it like once if you leave the bug alone?
Right. Yeah, that's actually something that I've been thinking about too, because when I was testing the demo myself, sometimes I would just delete the witch at the end just so that the one bug would go through instead of four. But I don't think you're going to see enemies like that too often in the final game. For the prototype, I just wanted to have a big variety of every type of enemy possible just so people can get a feel for what we have, you know, what makes us different.
Right. That was killing me. I would have like 10 of them coming at the base. I was just like, that's all on my hit points right there. I can't do anything about them.
Let me give you some pro tower defense tips, okay?
Pro strats.
You ready? You got your notepad out? Okay, whatever. Here it goes. regarding the Fire Witch, the range unit, you want to have that upgraded fully. However, when we're talking about melee units with limited range, like no matter how many times you upgrade the melee unit, that range does not change. She can only hit as far as that scythe can swing. It's better to have more melee units spread out across the map and only a few fire range units.
All right.
Just some pro tips.
I couldn't build up enough money to get that many, though, at the beginning. Because that was like wave three that you threw those at us.
Oh, yeah. The earlier build of the prototype was actually wave one was right away. You could die in wave one if you didn't play it right.
Ooh.
And then I realized that that was probably a bad idea, so I nerfed it a little bit.
Yeah, wave one was like nothing. I was like, oh, this is going to be an easy one. They're just little blue puffballs.
That was so, really easy. So you actually beat the game all the way through?
Oh, no, no. Those bugs destroyed me. I couldn't do anything. Like, I was getting killed by them.
Nice cats.
Thank you. my kittens.
you say the word cat and whatever dog is back there is now barking like
I have no control over that.
Sorry. Neighbor's dog.
My window is right there, so sorry.
It's fine. Dogs are loud.
Yes. That one's a Pomeranian, so.
Oh, God.
Anyways.
Little ankle biter.
So, you guys, it's our defense. No?
I've liked a few in the past. Like, I don't know if you'd consider Toy Soldiers a tower defense. I mean, it sort of is. You try to stop enemies that are coming in a specific path from getting into your toy box. But it's also like a little bit more of a, like,
Is that like an N64 game?
Oh, no, that's like an Xbox 360 arcade game.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of those little green army people.
Oh, Army. God,
the Army Men games.
Yep, those are a different series. No, that's just an RTS, I'd say.
Those are just terrible. I don't think there was ever a good Army Men game.
I played them as when I was 5 or something. I was like, oh, this is so cool. I love playing with my army men in real life. I love playing this game. And I was like, this is awful. Why did I do this?
I made a horrible mistake.
Those characters are tiny, so I gotta like that. Creativity there.
Now, Toy Soldiers is like, I don't know, it's a smaller series of like tower defense games that were on the Xbox 360 arcade. Mm. They're pretty fun. And then there's Defense Grid The Awakening. I liked that. But that was more like what you said with the ability to just put things there and it's just like they just destroy them because you have so many weapons.
I feel like I've seen that before, that game. Does it have multiplayer?
Defense Grid 2 does. I know that for sure. Because I don't remember if The Awakening
One of the
does.
Things I've been experimenting with is multiplayer for tower defense, which the concept seems a little bit difficult to do. But I got a lot of inspiration from playing Horde mode in Gears of War, so we'll see. We'll see if that materializes. But for now, I'll just focus on the campaign because that's most important.
Yeah, maybe we'll Kickstarter. Don't sacrifice single player for multiplayer ever. Yeah.
I personally enjoyed Crystal Defenders, the Final Fantasy themed tower defense.
Is that similar to Tactics?
No, not at all. It's just straight up tower defense. It was on, God, what the hell all was on? 360, like Xbox Live Arcade. I believe there's mobile versions out. But yeah, no actual like turn-based tactics at all. It's just straight up tower defense.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, I dig it. And then I've been playing the, God, what the hell's the name? Like Royal Defense, I think it is, on the Vita. I think it's called Royal Defense from 8-4.
You're right.
Those were fun.
Yeah.
Wow, you guys play a lot more tower defense than I expected.
I also used to play this game on a website at school as a kid called Balloon Tower Defense or whatever.
No.
I knew you'd hate that, so I had to say it.
Yes, that's the game I had in mind when I was saying that you basically build more towers to win.
Yeah, that was a fun game as a kid. Like, when I was in school, 7th grade or whatever, that was that was good.
7th grade, was so like 2 years ago?
I'll give them props because they're very popular. They're like one of the top games on Steam, so they deserve some respect.
They're on Steam? I thought it was just a mobile, or not mobile, but website.
Like Balloons Defense, 5 or something.
God, Jesus. They made a lot of those.
Yeah, there's a lot of friggin' tower defense games out, huh?
Yes. Yes, there is.
And then a recent one that I enjoyed, it's kind of like a third-person action mixed with tower defense. It's called Fortified on Xbox One and PS4.
Oh, yeah. I know that game.
That game is cool as hell.
Yeah, I like those tower defense games where they mix another genre with it as well. I don't know if you ever play those, Andrew, but...
No, sir.
Cats, why are you knocking shit over? God damn you. I'm a professional.
I got a lot of my inspiration from playing The Last of Us multiplayer.
Inspiration for Tiny Wars?
Yeah.
Okay, I would not have expected that game.
Your gun throughout the multiplayer experience is sort of like tower defense a little bit. And then of course the gore and the blood is something that I just love that stuff. So that's going into Tiny Wars. I'll make it happen.
Yeah, I'm awesome. Interested to see how a cutesy anime tower defense with just incredible violence and gore turns out. That's such like an interesting anime concept.
Yes, like a normal anime. But the violence won't actually be in the gameplay itself. It'll sort of just be in the cutscenes and some of the story.
Mm.
And I'll make sure the way we have it planned out is there's some story stuff that's kind of just optional. Like, you can look at it if you want, but you don't have to. So that way, you know, everyone can enjoy it, and the people that actually care about the story can look at that stuff if they want, and the people that just want to, they're bored and they just want to play through some levels can just go through the levels, and you're probably going to get two different stories.
That's pretty cool. What kind of platforms are you aiming for in the future after mobile and PC?
Originally it was only supposed to be for mobile. But testing for a PC is just a lot quicker, and I found out that a lot of there is tower defense games on Steam, like Balloons Tower Defense. So then I decided to go with Steam. I haven't considered anything about any other platforms right now. I just don't have the capacity to test that and or knowledge on how to get on those platforms.
That makes sense. What kind of team are you working with?
So I do all of the programming myself.
That's a lot of programming. And,
that's kind of why production is a little bit slow. But regarding artwork and music team, we have almost 26, 27 people involved.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
And so we get a lot of artwork coming through, and that's one of the big differences between web development and video games is when you're designing a website, you just need a logo and that's it, and then you can just generate like shapes and rectangles and stuff and you're good to go. But once I went into game design, I realized that you need all this artwork. You can't just make it look like an app. It's not going to work. You need like crazy detailed artwork. Stuff that I could never make on my own. So it's a totally different world, and because of that, I met all these awesome artists and musicians and composers, and so it's been pretty cool.
Yeah,
I can definitely tell you that the art team is talented over there. They're making some good looking stuff.
Oh yeah, I'll let them know you like their stuff. Everyone does.
Yeah, I'm checking out the credits page on the tinywarsgame.com website, and just the sheer number of different composers working on the music in the game is just awesome. I'm eager to hear more of the music.
Right. Some of these people are really awesome, and they donated some of their music to us for free, so I really appreciate them. And that's kind of, you know, like, we're just like, hey, we're making a game. And some people were like, hey, use our songs. And it was great. So I really appreciate that.
That's awesome.
Just be careful, because some people offered me their songs and I played it. And it sounded oddly similar to Final Fantasy. And then I played Final Fantasy soundtrack and it was like identical. So, yeah, watch out for that.
Hooray for plagiarism.
Trying to trick you. That's not good.
Yeah, yeah, some people out there just aren't very inventive, I guess. They just got to rip other people off and hope that no one catches it.
Yeah, we try to do everything right now. So, like, if people are streaming our game, they're not going to get a copyright strike or anything like that. Like, I literally go and get contracts signed with the musicians, so everything's legit and good.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that people like you or streamers and stuff won't have to face any consequences.
Nice. I know Tiny Build actually had an issue where they got all the contracts and all the paperwork signed for the soundtrack in the game Party Hard, but it was still tripping like copyright flags. So they actually just recomposed the entire game to make sure there were no kind of copyright issues. That way they completely owned the entire soundtrack.
Right. Yeah, actually the prototype had a few songs that were we had full commercial rights to use it, but whenever we posted a video, it would trip YouTube's automatic content ID thing.
Yeah.
And so at the very last minute, I just pulled those songs out and put in songs that didn't deal with that, which is unfortunate, but, two reasons. One, I don't want our streamers to deal with copyright problems, and two, in the future, if we ever get an investment or sell the game to some company, I want to make sure that there's no copyright issues like that.
Yeah. Totally understand.
Future-proofing. Makes sense.
How good is the audio from my microphone?
That sounds fine.
I can
fine.
Hear you fine. It sounds good.
Because I would play you guys a song here, if you're interested.
Sure.
All right, let me pull it up.
Let's here do it go. Up. You could serenade us.
The stream.
Yeah, sing along to it.
All right, here we go. Never before been released. This song, we own full exclusive rights. Don't worry, you're not going to get copyright on this one.
Sweet.
No other game can use this song but Tiny Wars. Just some info. It was live recorded in Boston by, I think there's about 25 instruments involved in this. And this was the very first asset that we purchased for the game. And it's the theme song. It's going to be the theme song for the game. And I think after you hear this song, you will kind of be able to connect the dots with, like, sort of the darker theme, the more serious theme of the game, because it's not like a cutesy anime song. So yeah, here we go. Let me know if you need me to turn up or turn down the volume.
Sounds like the beginning of a Disney movie so far.
No, don't say that.
So far, just so far.
Yeah. Anyways. We'll release that song in full soon.
Nice, I dig it.
Yeah, sounds very good. Different than what I expected. But I actually really like the song. It was pretty good.
Jordan in our chat is saying very relaxing. So
nice. Follow us on SoundCloud. That's where we'll post the music.
Well, give us the URL. Where could we find you?
Search up SoundCloud / Tiny Wars game. Pretty much everything we have, the handle is Tiny Wars game.
Well, that's good.
Someone had the tinywars.com domain, and I contacted them, and they didn't want to sell it, so... Oh, well.
Tiny Wars game it was.
Dicks. They were probably the same guys who have the other app.
Nah. No. But the guy was cool. He put a thing on his website and said, "Oh, if you meant to find this tower defense game, click here and go to their website." So.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
What is his site that he has?
He reviews figurines. on his site. So like okay. little tiny like Warhammer figures.
Oh, okay. Right,
that makes sense then. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he hadn't updated the site in years, and so I reached out to him. I was like, "Hey, dude, we're making a game. Are you gonna sell it?" And he's like, "Nope." So, but you know, whatever. He put the thing, the referral on there. So, thank you.
At least it's not like a porn site or something.
That would be awful. Just midget porn.
No lie. Before I got my website, joecam.net, years and years ago, a local radio station was running like one of their nightly contests is like, is your name porn? And I was the X number caller and they're like, what's your name? I'm like, Joe Cam. And they put joecam.com, gay porn site.
That doesn't surprise me. Cam is just camera, so
joecam.com was a gay porn site. I don't know what it is now. I've never probably decided to go back and check it out, but
at least you can hope it's still a gay website.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. I mean, joecam.net hosting our show is kind of gay in its own right. So Loot Interactive in Twitch is saying, yeah, when are we talking about porn? God, God damn it, Loot.
Those guys are insane.
Oh, he always shows up at the right time.
So, or you can say he always comes at the right time.
Speaking of that, I'm still waiting to see some suggestive fan art. I'm happy that I haven't seen any of that yet, so...
Yeah, well, you brought
some,
it up.
I'm waiting for some suggestive fan art for the SML podcast as well.
If it exists, right?
Me in a 90.
Yeah, apparently Rule 34. Exists. You're right.
Pretty
you're
good.
Absolutely right.
So what kind of games are you playing in your spare time when you're not working on Tiny Wars? What are you playing right now?
Nothing. I mean, the last game I played was Tetris 64. On Thanksgiving with my cousins, and that was pretty sick.
Hell yeah, Tetris.
But before that, just Last of Us multiplayer. Xbox Live subscription was canceled, and I don't really want to pay for that, so PS3 is free, so yeah.
That's true, but PS4 isn't, so if you upgrade to the next PlayStation.
That's a disappointment.
One of my free games every month, you know?
Send us a free PS4, so... Whenever that comes in, yeah, I'll get to streaming.
That's awesome.
I wish I got a free PS4. That'd be cool.
You had 7 of them, but they all died.
What? Hook me up.
Well, he's not lying. I'm on my 7th PS4.
Where's the rest of them?
All back at GameStop or something.
Well, systems 1 through 5 were sent back to Sony because they were defective pieces of garbage.
Uh-huh.
The 6th one we actually just sold to my wife's niece.
Wait, was it broken?
No, that one was actually not broken.
Yeah, that would be really rude. Sell her a broken PlayStation and be like, you can look at it.
Yeah. It is a Batman system, so...
It is... Oh, that's nice.
Loot asked me how many versions of Tetris do I have. God.
One of our fans hooked us up with a bunch of their Xbox 360s back when the Red Rings of Death were rampant. And we destroyed them in our videos because we actually do gun reviews. And we had some fun with that.
Gun reviews. You do everything on the planet, don't you?
Whenever there's some technology that's going to make a good video being destroyed, I'd love to get my hands on it. Thank you very much.
Gun reviews. That is interesting.
Yeah. If you're not interested, then don't check out that username that I accidentally registered with. Maybe we'll give you guys a sweet shout out on our YouTube channel.
That is a great name, though, honestly.
You ever play Resident Evil 4?
Yes.
No. Yes, I did not like it.
Do you get the reference, at least?
No, because I didn't play far enough to like it.
How do you not like Resident Evil 4?
Because I didn't? I don't know.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah, something's wrong with this guy.
Hey, I liked your game. Don't make me take that back.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, here we go. I don't know if you can see it, but this is my business card.
Oh, nice.
You can see the letters are holographic. I had to pay extra for that.
How much more? And
there's my name back there. And I don't know if you can see that or not, but that's one of our, that's the Fire Witch character.
Yep.
She was my favorite when we did the concept art. I don't know if she's probably not my favorite still, but she was at the time, so yeah. There's that.
There's nice font too.
This is the YouTube channel that I run. Rebind.
Nice.
We have 82,000 subscribers on that channel.
Damn.
And the most recent video is me basically saying that we're quitting YouTube.
That's funny.
But what they don't know is that we're not quitting, so keep that in mind.
Just trying to get rid of all the fake ones that didn't actually care.
Nah, our views were going way, way down in recent times, thanks to me making election videos.
Oh, God.
And so in order to become relevant again, we said we're quitting.
The YouTube okay. Drama tricks.
Hey, man. Hey, everyone's doing it. Okay, PewDiePie did it. Jacksepticeye. Come on. We're nobody. We have the right to do it, too.
Hey, Joe, we should do it, too.
Yeah, we're quitting the show.
It's over.
You would not believe that how many people come out of the shadows and pretend like they're your fans all of a sudden when you say you're quitting or when something's bad, you bring up some insider drama.
That's true. I've seen a lot of comments on videos like that are just like, really?
Man.
Also, Sousa agrees with me. He doesn't like Resident Evil 4.
Oh, no. No, no.
What is wrong with you guys?
High five, Sousa.
What else do you guys want to see?
You make me so sad.
Everything and anything.
Here's another business card.
Mach 9. What is Mach 9?
One day I was scrolling on unregistered domains, and I came across a five-letter domain that actually kind of made sense. So I bought it and turned it into a horrible news website. So don't check it out because it still needs work.
I thought it was going to be about airplanes.
Right now it's just riddled with clickbait, but I promise when we get the fan base, we'll make it better.
Well, I mean, you got to start somewhere with clickbait.
True. Next step is just a bunch of lists.
Top 10 ways to not commit suicide.
You won't believe answer number 7.
Hey, that stuff works. What are you talking about?
Breathe.
Man, and Sion never played any Resident Evil game.
I've never played any Resident Evil game before Resident Evil 4. And all the Resident Evil games that came after Resident Evil 4 weren't even that good anyway, so whatever.
Operation Raccoon City was the only one I kind of liked, and everybody hated that one, so...
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Because I like the action part of it. I don't like the horror game part of those. And then Resident Evil 4 is just like, I didn't like it because it controlled awfully.
Oh, that's a complaint a lot of people have. That might be legitimate. I like to pretend that only people that have no skills complain about controls. But
match CJ's description.
I could kick your ass in a first-person shooter any day. Don't talk. I'm joking. I don't actually know that. We've never tried.
You and me, one-on-one in Tetris. I will shit out of you.
Definitely. I don't know anything about Tetris. FPS besides the fact that you match blocks.
Oh, Minecraft. I actually used to play a lot of Minecraft.
That's a good game, actually. It gets shit, but it's good.
I used to play online. Have you ever played Hunger Games?
Yep. Hey, that got on Xbox One recently and PlayStation 4. They introduced the battle mode update, which was Hunger Games.
Have you ever played Deadly Descent?
I can't say I have.
It's a game mode where basically a bunch of randomly generated blocks appear, and you start at the very top of the world, and you have to jump down and get to the bottom without dying.
Huh.
And it's very, very challenging.
That's pretty cool. I like parkour in Minecraft. parkour.
One day I'll get into Minecraft.
You don't like Minecraft, Joe.
Loot Interactive saying, speaking of controls for Resident Evil 4, how many Resident Evil 4 controllers do you have, Joe? I have two of the Resident Evil 4 chainsaw controllers.
I can't believe that you actually had some. Like, I thought that was just going to be a joke.
No, they made it for the GameCube, and then when they ported it to PlayStation 2, they released another one on there. So, yes.
Yep, and that's why they had the terrible controls with the stick, because it was on GameCube first.
But, yes, I have two chainsaw controllers. So,
Joe has Deadly Descent 2.
I don't know what Deadly Descent 2 is.
Me neither.
You know what? I don't have Loot Interactive. I don't have VelociBox on the Xbox One. So you need to fix that shit.
How did you manage to bring that up in an interview with a completely different dev?
Because Loot's hanging out in chat. That's how.
You ever played VelociBox, Andrew?
Never heard of it.
You should check it out. It's from Loot Interactive.
It's impossible. Okay. You're going to want to die when you're playing it. I mean, that's your choice.
I'll open it up in a new tab just for you guys.
You're not going to enjoy your life while you're playing it, but afterwards, you'll reminisce about all the times you had.
Loot Interactive. Nice logo.
Yeah, they're good dudes.
They're kind, fun people.
Sometimes.
Jump Jet Rex.
That game's awesome.
Yeah, they got a good lineup. There's Electronic Superjoy, which that's a game.
Man, Loot Interactive just likes making hard games.
Yeah. So does Andrew. Tiny Wars is hard.
You guys would get along well.
Actually, speaking of hard games, I actually really enjoy playing Guitar Hero and Rock Band.
Fuck yeah, Rock Band.
Oh god.
Fuck yeah, Rock Band. Rock Band is my shit.
Dude, that's a good game, man.
I'm guessing you haven't really seen anything about Rock Band 4 or Rock Band Rivals.
No. The series kind of died for me after 2. Sorry.
Rock Band 4 is getting really, really good on current gen consoles, and they just added a new feature called Rivals, where you can make crews of like up to 10 people online, and they have weekly challenges, and it's basically ways to make you go through your old DLC and play songs that you maybe haven't played in a while. This past week was just playing songs from artists that have a color in their name. Like, you know, the White Stripes or Green Day, stuff like that. I played in the past week 100 songs.
There's 100 songs that has that's
people still play online.
Mm-hmm. They're actually adding synchronous online multiplayer either in December or January.
Wow. But, and they still haven't released the Wii U version, so, you know, whatever, screw them. I wasted my money on Wii U, and I didn't get anything fun out of it. Sorry.
Hey, I mean, they're Super Mario Maker. You can have fun playing people's levels when they're terrible
at
designing
them. Dude, I can make that a game maker.
You can, but can other people do it? And then you play their levels.
Bayonetta 2 was awesome.
Sorry, never played. You know what I had played recently, though, was Metal Gear Solid 2, and I really, really enjoyed that. And I don't know why I never played that.
Speaking of another game I didn't like.
Do you like anything, CJ?
I actually like newer Metal Gear Solids. I just didn't like the older ones.
You're the worst.
You know what? I do like games, Joe. I like Trials Fusion, Joe.
Is that a real game?
Yes, it is a real game. And it's a great game. It is an amazing 5 out of 5 best game ever game. Except not the best game ever, because Borderlands 2 is pretty up there, too.
Is there a game that all three of us can like and enjoy?
Rock Band.
Like Gary's Mod?
Never played it, but I saw PewDiePie play it, and it looks fun.
Yeah, it's a good game.
How about Young Theory Simulator?
What'd you say?
I lost you guys. Yandere, Simi.
I hear you, but I didn't hear what you said.
Oh my gosh. You ever play Yandere Simulator?
No, I have not.
No.
You heard of it?
No. I have heard of it.
I don't know, you guys.
Sorry. He's heard of it. I don't know what it is. Ever heard of Farming Simulator?
That sounds
more people fun. Play that than Call of Duty.
That sounds like my backyard.
Oh my god. This show's going off the rails. Well, I know we've been chatting for almost an hour now. I'm not sure if there's anything else that you wanted to talk about with Tiny Wars or not.
Yeah. Let's get back to that.
The game the game that you're making.
The only reason it's so difficult for me to talk about it is just because there's nothing, no point of contact in the real world of this game because it doesn't exist yet. And so everything I'm talking about can just be made up for all you know. If you look on our social media campaign, a lot of what we're doing is just talking about, like, oh, here's our concept art. Which one do you guys like better? And we're not even talking about the game. We're not talking about the story. We have literally nothing else to talk about because we're so early in development.
Yeah.
So, it's really tough for me to actually talk about it unless you want me to give you more spiels on the story. Some insider, juicy details.
I just like the idea of mini cannibals eating a witch.
Yes. That was the only logical scenario that I could come up with in my head. What else would they do with it? I mean, they gotta eat, you know?
True. That's very true.
No longer have to steal.
Yes. I don't know. You wanted more story stuff? I got files and files of story things here. Lots of stuff on my notepad. Let's see. What are you most interested in?
How does the story end? I'm joking. Don't spoil it. That's a terrible idea.
I know on your timeline you had...
You'll love the ending. But the ending's not going to come until Tiny Wars 2.
Tiny Wars 2. Is it going to be a trilogy? Are you going for 3?
No, I can't. If it's a trilogy, the third one's going to suck. You just got to cut it off at 2. That's the only way.
Makes sense. And then a prequel, Tiny Wars 0.
Yeah. That's the best way to do it. I mean, come on. Gears of War 3? No. Halo 3?
Well, Halo 3 was all right, but the Halo 4 was the garbage.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we can agree on that.
Reach was really good, too, though. I did like Reach a lot. That's my favorite, actually.
It's kind of cliche.
Yeah, but it's a prologue, so it's great.
I mean, you know what I did like about Halo 4 was the terminal videos? Did you ever watch those?
No. I didn't care about the game.
It has the story. It's basically the story of everything that happened in Halo 1. So, like, the Oracle's flying around and he gets bored. And it's actually really fascinating, the lore behind that.
Huh.
IGN has a video on their YouTube channel that just all those cutscenes put together in one giant movie. And it's really interesting to watch. I highly suggest it. Anyways, back to Tiny Wars, since that's what we're doing. How long does this stream usually last?
We usually do interviews for around an hour, so.
Okay, so we're coming up on the end.
Yeah.
And then you said you were going to have another pre-recorded interview coming up, too?
Yeah, that'll be the magic of editing.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then the actual episode itself will probably be out on, like, Sunday or Monday.
Right on. Okay. Let's see. Anything I can tell you that will get you excited for this? I don't know, man. There's a lot of stuff here. There's a lot of things. I don't know. I don't want to blow it.
Don't blow it.
I don't want
to
blow
it. Just have to be surprised.
You're going to be surprised. And you're going to have your mind, I promise.
Have to build the suspense.
I promised you it will happen. And you will thank me and be mad at me, too.
Sounds good. I'm definitely eager to see more about the game. So
right, I'll tell you that the story has been in the works a lot longer than the game was. I was probably writing the story for about 2 or 3 years now. And it was just something I did for fun because I was in college and I was very bored in class. So what else are you going to do?
That's fun.
And then it was about 6 months ago that I was like, hey, we can turn this into a game. Let's do it. So, yeah. So the story's been a lot of details have been put in a long time. And the game is kind of more fresh, like very primitive right now. So that's another problem that we face. I'm just basically, you guys are my therapist, and I'm telling you all the problems I'm having right now with the game.
Well, by oh God, something went wrong on my end.
Yeah, it did.
I think. What the hell? Did my headset break?
Uh-oh.
That'd be bad.
Yeah, just a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Do the cats get to it?
You guys could hear me, though, right?
Yes, we can hear you.
No, that's good, at least. What the fuck happened? Okay, there we go. Okay, my shit's just breaking like crazy.
Dude, that's what happens when you get the cats in there.
Indeed.
You break everything.
God damn you cats. Just sleeping on my desk. Little bastards.
But my cats break.
So let's see. No scopers rule saying, fuck you, you Mexican at the top, build a wall. Yeah, that's someone who's going to get banned.
What?
So, I don't know, in the Twitch chat, just saying some ignorant shit. That's an easy way to get banned.
No scopers rule?
Yeah.
That sounds really stupid.
Andrew, I think he thinks that you're Mexican, so.
That's... He's...
Okay.
Yeah. He doesn't look Mexican at all. I don't see that.
And then Issam is saying, mute. No, he didn't get muted. He got banned. Fuck that. I don't need that ignorant shit in my chats. So.
That's why you stick to Beam.
Taraba, very Mexican name. Yeah.
If you spin it around, it almost sounds like taco.
Yeah, God. Taraba is Japanese for burrito, right?
It's actually Japanese for crab, but close enough.
See, crab burritos.
Fish, I don't know why, but that sounds tacos. Like that would be awful.
Crab burrito? Yeah, that sounds great. Oh, man. On that note, I guess we could wrap everything up with the chat. It's been awesome having you on. I'm very, very excited to see more about the game as it goes through prototype phase and onto demo and onto full release sometime in the next, I don't know, 2-3 years.
Yeah. I mean, if we raise money through a crowdfunding campaign after the demo comes out, I will be so happy. But until then, I cannot focus full-time on the game, unfortunately.
So are
make money.
Is there going to be crowdfunding? What's your plan with that?
So I don't know if you've looked into Berserk Software at all, but we have run or worked on other crowdfunding campaigns, like WALL-E. Have you ever heard of WALL-E? Wait. Have you ever heard of WALL-E, the smart wallet?
No.
Oh, WALL-E. I was thinking the robot in the movie. So I was like, what?
So it's like the wallet. It tracks the location, so you can never lose your wallet. It knows how many credit cards you have in it. It's pretty sick. They raised over $700,000 on Kickstarter and Indiegogo, and I filmed their video. So.
Oh, wow.
And I know the guys who ran their campaign, so, I mean, I could get some special favors called in on that.
There you
go.
The
only thing, crowdfunding a non-physical product is very problematic, and usually... rarely succeeds unless you're a Rooster Teeth and you have a billion fans and you can.
I'm one of those fans. So.
But yeah, that's the problem. Crowdfunding a game, I don't know.
Just don't turn it into Mighty Number 9 and we'll all be fine.
Oh, God.
Okay, that'll be easy. Give me a challenge.
Don't shit in a box and you're already better than Mighty Number 9. So, Andrew, where can people stay up to date on everything that you guys are doing?
Everything that we're doing, you can find out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/tinywarsgames.
Sounds good, man. Sounds good. So, CJ, right, do you have any final questions to ask or anything else that you want to take care of?
He pretty much cleared up everything I was thinking, especially the bug problem with the with those roaches that split into five.
There's bigger problems with that engine.
But
we've done a good
job. I did
job.
Want to mention you guys have a Twitter too, right?
We do. Unfortunately, I don't, dude. I don't value Twitter. Come on, here we go. Twitter.com/TinyWarsGame. Check it out. We have like almost 500 followers. I guess that's okay.
Yeah, that's decent. It's more than I have.
I mean, everything we've been doing has been focusing on Facebook. We hit 2,000 followers recently, and our Facebook page, our reach is about 100,000. So we're doing something. When it comes to the Facebook marketing, we're doing something right. When it comes to Twitter, I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know how it works.
We need more Facebook followers. So if you're listening to this show, we are on Facebook, by the way. So come find us on Facebook, please. Help us. I would like to get to 100 likes on Facebook. That would be nice. I would appreciate that. Our post reach is, I think, 112. Whoopies.
What is your Facebook handle?
Facebook.com/TheSMLPodcast.
Well, it's because you use Twitter so much more.
Yeah.
So people follow you on Twitter.
Yeah.
Here you go. Now you guys have 91 likes on Facebook.
Sweet.
I don't even have a Facebook account, so I can't like it. Yay.
Sweet. And I just got a notification. We are creeping up to 100. We're going to get there.
You'll get there.
I'm excited.
Here, I'll give you a pro tip since I apparently know how to use Facebook. Ask a question. Take your logo, slightly modify it to a very, very slight modification, and just ask the fans which one do they prefer. And all they'll just come out of the shadows and start commenting on your post, giving you their opinion, because that's all they care about is telling you what they think.
Nice.
that's amazing.
I figure if I want more Twitter followers, I just got to give shit away.
Yeah, that's basically the Twitter game.
Follow an RT.
I don't know if you can see that.
Oh, nice.
This is our Facebook page stats.
Damn.
Yeah. Hope you guys get to 100 likes on Facebook. If you need any help, just hit me up. That's what I do for my clients, is marketing and web development. Yeah, if you need help, I'll give you some free hitters, and we'll see if you get a really good post coming out.
Sounds good. But yeah, Andrew, it's been great talking to you, and we'll keep you in mind when we see the game coming along, and we'll have to get you back on sometime.
Awesome. Whenever the demo comes out, I'd love to come back on, and hopefully maybe you guys can play it live. That'll be fun to watch.
Sounds good.
I know his PC can't do it, but I can.
Right on, guys. It's been a pleasure.
All right, take it easy, man.
Thank you for joining us.
All right, that was fun.
That was fun. Oh, we said the same thing.
Despite the fact that he is not Mexican. And Issam in our Twitch chat asking if LOL is banned. Yes, I hate LOL.
I love that that's banned.
And the best part is some people just find ways to like make me have to read it in like emails and stuff. Oh, man. Fun stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely didn't just put LOL in chat.
Dickhead. So before we jump into our other interview, we do have a handful of reviews that we got to take care of this episode. Are you ready for these?
Almost. You could start with one of yours, and I can bring up my notes.
Wonderful. All right, first game to talk about tonight is going to be Headlander, developed by Double Fine Productions, published by Adult Swim Games. It released back in July on the PS4 and Steam. It just came out November 18th on the Xbox One for $19.99. Launch into the ultimate head trip as you blast through psychotic robots and a 70s sci-fi action adventure from Double Fine Productions. It is a world of automation, a utopia gone wrong, in which all of humanity have transferred their minds in robotic imposter bodies and are ruled by a computer. We had our good friend Eternal Rage review this one for us, so let us check this one out.
Nice.
She says, developed by Double Fine Productions, published by Adult Swim Games, Headlander thrusts players into a vibrantly retro 70s sci-fi inspired world full of hedonistic robots and humorous innuendo. And that's all you need to know. Buy it. Spoiler alert. Okay, fine. That's not all you really need to know, but it is a big chunk of the fun in this Metroid-inspired side-scrolling action game. Players take control of a disembodied head of the last known human in the universe, who has just been awakened by Earl, a southernly drawled voice on the other side of the communications device. Earl is a pleasant and helpful companion, and his relaxed personality is in direct contrast to the pleasure-seeking robots our head in a jar for a protagonist encounters in various areas of the pleasure dome.
Areas.
All up in the area. Players have two options for movement throughout the world. The handy-dandy jar that encases the player's head contains thrusters so that the head can fly from room to room. Additionally, the head has a vacuum ability, and this is where things get really interesting. The player can use the head's vacuum ability to suck the heads off of the other robots roaming the world and then attach to their head to the robot body. This isn't just for giggles, however. It is easy to lose an hour because you were bouncing around to every body type in an effort to check out all of their smooth dance moves. The ability to land on different robot chassis is vital for the puzzle aspect of the game. Some of the passageways can only be accessed while wearing certain body types, color matching the lights around the locked door to a robotic sentry of the same color as required. Is a simple enough game mechanic to work out, but unfortunately for some players, there is no colorblind options in the settings. While the Sentry robotic chassis include the ability to shoot lasers, most combat sequences can be completed quickly and efficiently by just making use of the head's vacuum ability, which is what I did on the PS4 version. I would just suck heads off of robots.
Loot. That doesn't sound great if you say it that way.
Oh, I know. Loot asking, how many pleasure bots do I have? Not enough, I guess. Headlander's combat system is incredibly forgiving, with the head being able to take quite a bit of damage before actually being at risk of death. If death does occur, the player is usually started back in the same room or right next to it. The exception to this is the two boss battle sequences, where death can be almost instant and the player must start over at the beginning. Every time. The sudden ramp in difficulty can be a put-off for many. Despite a couple of missteps, Headlander is a pleasurable romp in a retro-futuristic world that dares to think outside of the rocket-propelled head jar. Buy it.
That sounds awesome.
It does sound awesome.
It does sound awesome.
Do you have your notes ready, CJ?
Yes, I have all my notes ready.
Good. So
surprise me.
Next game to talk about is called Jalopy, developed by Minsk Works?
Something like that.
Published by Excalibur Games. It released April 22nd on Steam for $12.99. Build, repair, refuel, and drive a dilapidated old car on a grand journey through the territories of the former Eastern Bloc. CJ, tell us.
Okay, Jalopy is a first-person driving game that is very close to a simulator. Everything is somewhat realistic, with you even having to build and maintain your car. The game starts with a tutorial that explains where each part goes on the car, under the hood, and you actually have to do that. You have to pick up each individual part, and you have to put it in the correct spot under the hood. So there's, like, you got the engine block, you got the ignition coil, you got the gas fuel tank thing, you got the other parts of the car, because I am not a car guy, so I don't really know. But and in the future you can actually get better versions of the parts you have and then take out the old part and put the new one in, and you had to also manage gas and combined oil with it for lubrication reasons. So. The game is a bit overwhelming at first, especially if you've never actually driven before like me. Even the drive, there's
you
a lot of
small... You don't drive?
No. I don't have a license.
You loser.
Only 18.
Only 18.
Yeah. I didn't have the money to go through driver's ed.
God.
Even the drive, you have to do a lot of things manually. Like, you have to actually sit in the seat. You have to close the door. You have to put the keys in the ignition, then turn the keys, and then release the handbrake to turn. I'm just thankful that the car is automatic, because I would have just been a mess. I think this is actually progress. I think they should just put this game inside schools for driving and just be like, you know how to do it now. Inside the car, there are plenty of stuff that you can mess with, too, like the sun visors, or you can adjust your mirrors, although I wish you could actually see through the mirrors and or actually use them as mirrors. They're kind of just gray. It's just like the idea of mirrors actually being there. And you can even mess with the radio. It's pretty awesome, honestly. And then there's some buttons in there that I don't know what does. There's one that, like, turns on the windshield wipers. There's things. I'm not a car guy. You start with $100 in your wallet, which is handily placed in your glove box. However, you need this money to purchase gas, upgrades, and a room in a motel for the night. At first, I thought the $100 was plenty, but quickly blew it all. And there are only two ways that you can get money. You can sell things that you come across, like old car parts, or sometimes on the side of the road, there'll be a box that maybe fell out of a delivery truck, and you can pick that up and sell it. Or you can complete a delivery, which, you know, I was trying to do when this terrible thing happened. So I got a little story. That pretty much sums up how shit I am at this game. So, you know, driving through, just slept at a motel, time to leave the first town. I go past the border, they check my papers, I go through, and about, like, I'd say, like, 5 minutes later, car stops. I think it broke down. I go outside, I check the parts. It says that there's some durability still there. It's okay. It's not great. It's not in good condition. I have some money left, so I'm like, okay, whatever. I go back in the car. I'm like, okay, let's try to start this thing back up. Keep turning the ignition, and it just keeps blowing out. And then I realize, oh, I'm out of fuel. So I had to walk to a gas station, but one wasn't nearby. It took forever. And on top of that, I forgot my wallet. After 5 minutes of walking, I'm like, I forgot my wallet. It's in the car still. You can't buy anything without a wallet. So I came back, but then I saw a box on the side of the road. I was like, oh, I got to take this back to my car so I can sell it. It was actually like a sealed box, so I couldn't even tell what was in it. So I was like, this has to be worth something. So I take it back to the car, and it wouldn't fit in the trunk. So I had to keep fucking around, trying to find somewhere to put it in the car. You can't put it in the seats, and it's just like, it was annoying. So I was messing with that box for like 5 minutes. Then I leave the car again, go back, and it's like a 10-minute walk before I find an old car that had been actually stripped down and just on the side of the road. So I picked up some parts out of it that were actually in really good condition, weirdly, even though the rest of the car was awful. And then I continued my way walking towards the gas station, spent another 15 minutes walking until I finally found the first gas station. I walk in, I'm like, okay, finally. I give the parts to sell, and then I grab the gas can, and I put that in. And you had to make one transaction at a time, I believe. So, like, you actually had to put in, like, the stuff to sell and then put something to buy as well. Like, I don't think you can just sell items. And so I put the gas tank in. It's, like, $16. I can't pay because I forgot my wallet because I was messing with the box of the car.
This doesn't sound at all like you're describing a game. It sounds like you're telling me about a bad weekend.
That's what this game is. It's just going to make you hate yourself. I spent 25 minutes walking to a gas station to not be able to pay for gas.
What the hell?
But
I'm
honestly,
so confused at this.
It's such a good experience, though. Like, this game is like prepared me to never forget my wallet. Where I had to walk 25 minutes to a gas station just to walk 25 minutes back and then walk 25 minutes there again with a wallet. Oh my god. But no, this game is actually really fun and really cool. And I like the idea that you can mess up so badly and just screw yourself.
Interesting.
Honestly. I think that honestly, this game has to be a buy it. Like, there's no other no other side of it. Having to do everything manually, although not as strenuous as Manuel Samuel, thank God. But still, like having to do everything like that, it's awesome. I wish there was more games like this.
Interesting. I'll have to check it out. It sounds really, really interesting.
Sounds really, really, really like I'm bad at driving, too.
It sounds like you're bad at describing games, too.
What?
The comments in Twitch have been hilarious.
That's like, just because they don't understand.
They're just like, oh my god, make it stop.
It's just Loot being mean or something.
And Isam, whoever...
I don't know who the hell that is.
I'm guessing they is Sam.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, let's talk about something a bit more high octane. Let's talk Killing Floor 2, developed by Tripwire Interactive, published by Deep Silver, released November 18th on PS4 for $39.99, also available on Steam Early Access for $29.99. In Killing Floor 2, players descend into continental Europe where the outbreak caused by biotech's failed experiment has quickly spread and gained unstoppable momentum, essentially paralyzing the European Union. Just 1 month after the conclusion of the events of the original Killing Floor, the specimen clones are everywhere and civilization is in disarray. Communications have failed, governments have collapsed, and military forces have been systematically eradicated. The people of Europe know survival and self-preservation too well, and lucky survivors have gone on into hiding. Not all have given up hope, though. A group of civilians and mercenaries have banded together to combat the outbreak and established privately funded operation bases across Europe. Killing Floor 2 is basically like Horde Mode the video game.
Yeah, I love the first one.
It is.
I played a lot of it.
The way the game is set up is you pick a character. There are a handful of different perks, which are basically different classes that you could pick. Whether it's like a medic, whether you're focused on melee weapons or like snipers or assault rifles. And the main draw of the game is the online co-op, where you partner up with either three friends or three random strangers if you're ballsy enough, and you fight anywhere from like 3 to 10 waves of just various monsters. The monster types feel very similar to like Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, I'd say that with the first one.
You know, there's all these different types of monsters. You know, some are invisible, some are like crawling around, some are like puking shit at you. And it's just running away, killing things, not dying, and in between waves, you know, refilling your ammo, your health, your shields, upgrading weapons, getting new weapons. There is a single player mode to the game, which is, obviously significantly more difficult because you don't have anyone watching your back. I found when I was playing the solo stuff, it was incredibly easy to just get trapped. Like if you constantly, because it's a first person game, you're constantly like running backwards, trying to shoot enemies and stay away. And if you run yourself back into a corner and you get surrounded, you are screwed.
Yeah.
The
first one was definitely unforgiving.
Yeah, this is definitely the same way. I know you can level up, get further through level up, and become more powerful. The problem with that is if you want to level up, you're going to need to partner up with people online. Trying to play it as a solo experience is fairly pointless, really.
I think it was just added for the people that didn't want to play online.
Probably. I dabbled around in both modes. I didn't really have any friends to play with, so I just had to deal with randoms. It was a mixed bag. You know, dealing with random people. You know, we're in an age where so many people don't use headsets anymore because everyone's afraid of getting, like, reported for language and getting banned.
Or getting trolled and put on YouTube.
Yeah, pretty much. So, it was... Some games went really well. There was some good teamwork and, you know, fighting through waves and taking out bosses. And then other times, people just run off in their own direction and they don't give a shit about you. So yeah, this is a game for $40. There's definitely plenty of content there, and it feels like they will be adding more to it. Like when you select game mode, like it says select game mode, and then it just says survival. The fact
and I believe that they're gonna do like free ones as well, like free updates. And the way they pay for that is by using the system of buying. Like you have the crates and you have to buy like a key to open them.
Yeah, like the whole loot box stuff.
Yep.
The loot interactive. the fact that that it has game mode and then just survival kind of leads me to believe that there will be more game mode showing up. Maybe they'll eventually add like a PvP there to it, or they'll add, you know, maybe like base building or something. Who knows? It's still in Steam Early Access, and despite being a quote-unquote full release on PS4, you could tell more content will be coming. For $40, I'm going to give this one a try, it mainly because it comes down to whether or not you have friends to play with. Like, if you're going into this solo, it's not even worth it. Like, you might be able to do it, and you might be able to, you know, jump on some random games and get some stuff going. If you have a group of friends to play this game with, it is a fucking blast.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It sounds like it's just very similar to the first, except with some improvements.
And I actually, this is one of the few games I got to play on my old PS4 and on the Pro. And despite the fact that I don't have a 4K TV, the upgraded visuals definitely came through. So it's nice to see some games have the enhanced visuals and higher frame rate with the Pro. So it's this is definitely one to keep your eye on if you have friends to play with. I know it was $30 for Black Friday, I think. If you are looking for a physical copy of the game on PS4, it is a GameStop exclusive, so you'll have to keep that in mind. So yeah, overall, try it.
That's pretty much where most people go for games anyway.
Yeah, sometimes. I go to Best Buy because I get 20% off everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Next game to talk about is called Kick-Ass Commandos, developed and published by Anarchy Enterprises. Released November 17th on Steam for $14.99. Lock and load, it's time to kick ass. Grab your machine gun, flamethrower, rocket launcher, and grenades. Assault the enemy base and free commandos to join your team while you destroy everything in sight. Make your way through enemy bunkers to rescue your comrades and kill everyone. CJ, what do you think?
All right, Kick-Ass Commandos is a twin-stick shooter that gets very bullet-hellish at times. The game kind of feels like they turned Broforce into a twin-stick shooter, and wow, does it work. The gameplay is very simplistic, but throws a twist. You have your standard controls in a twin-stick shooter, left stick to move, right stick to aim, and RT to fire. But the twist is that fellow soldiers are trapped in like cages and stuff by enemy soldiers, and you can rescue them. And when you do, they become a part of your team, and they do everything you do. So you actually wind up controlling them as well. At first, this was a little bit confusing, but then I realized that they moved you automatically, and then as long as you keep moving and shooting, they'll do the same thing. Just providing more firepower, but they can die. And that normally doesn't matter, but there are certain soldiers in certain missions that'll be like, If they die, it's game over. You got to restart that level. But that's not that bad because the levels aren't very long. There are 6 mission packs that contain a variety of missions. There are rescue missions that require you to save a certain target and evac them. There's missions that require you to kill a certain target who is normally a boss. And there are also levels that require you to kill all targets in the map. There are more game modes as well, like escape and stuff like that. They're all pretty fun. I really enjoyed the rock hard soundtrack and the pixel art graphics that made me think of Broforce in the first place.
Broforce?
I can't say force right.
Broforce.
Broforce.
Broforce. Broforce. The perf.
Yeah. There is even character progression. As you kill and complete levels, you earn XP, and when you level up, you get skill points that you can put into HP, damage, armor, and more. There are some characters that you can unlock by saving them in missions, but each character is separate, so you have to use each character to level them up. In missions, you'll notice there are power-ups on the ground as well, and weapons to pick up. You start with the machine gun, but you can pick up rocket launchers, flamethrowers, shotguns, and my personal favorite, the grenade launcher. that absolutely tears through the almost fully destructible environment.
Nice.
There are also power-ups that last a few seconds, like invulnerability and increased fire rate.
Invulnerability.
That's, you know how some people with have bro those, like, words? Okay, Bro Force is different.
Do you know what other game the guys behind Bro First did? They did genital jousting.
No, invulnerability. I can't actually say that word. That's just one of those words I can't say. Invulnerability, what? I can't say the word. How do you pronounce it?
Invulnerability.
That's not how it's spelled. An increased fire rate that makes rocket launcher shoot like...
I can't even talk now because you're fucking it up so bad.
Good. It makes rocket launchers shoot like machine guns. Goddamn. That was a struggle to get that sentence out with you constantly going like... overall, this game is fucking awesome. I really find myself enjoying a twin-stick shooter as much as I did with this game, and the price tag of $14.99 may seem a bit pricey, but if you're looking for a great twin-stick shooter, it's worth the price. I'd say buy it.
Nice.
Is that better for you, loot? Was it not too long? Huh? Fuck faces.
All right, one final game to talk about. This is actually more of a preview than a review. The game is called Space Hulk Deathwing, developed by Stream On Studio, published by Focus Home Interactive. It will release December 9th on Steam for $39.99. It will eventually hit consoles as well next year sometime. Take on the role of a space marine from one of the most secret and most feared Space Marine Companies, the Deathwing from the Dark Angels. Strap on your Terminator armor. Are you okay? Are you okay?
One second.
The hell? Strap on your Terminator armor and equip the emblematic weaponry of the Space Marines to overcome the threats awaiting you in the Space Hulk. This actually had a multiplayer beta that Uneaten Lake spent some time with before the review later on this month. He says Space Hulk Deathwing is developed by Stream On Studio, published by Focus Home Interactive, released December 9th. Currently 15% off on Steam for $33.99 if you want to get a pre-order in. Space Hulk is a four-player co-op first-person shooter based off of the Space Hulk board game and set in the Warhammer 40K universe. Space Hulks are large pieces of spaceships, asteroids, and other space debris. You play as a space marine and are tasked with clearing them of gene stealers, alien species similar to the xenomorphs in the Alien series. The game will feature three skill trees with different abilities to unlock, which should change up the game a bit. The graphics are gorgeous and the battles are frantic. This is going to be a great game to play with your friends due to the holiday, and when I got my code for the beta, I was only able to play through the beta on my laptop's video card versus the 1080 card I have at home. The only drawback from the beta was that the controller support wasn't fully implemented. There are a few things that couldn't be done with the controller that I hope are fixed and changed once the game is out of beta. Since I'm mainly a console gamer, I prefer to play with a controller. I also typically connect my laptop to my TV and sit on my couch to play games. The beta only contained a tutorial mission as well as a co-op mission, but from what I saw, this game is going to be a blast. There's nothing like roaming around a huge ship and destroying everything in your way. I couldn't gather much of the story around the game, nor do I know how much of the board game Warhammer 40K lore you will need to know in order to enjoy the game. We will see when it's released and have the chance to run through the full game. But it sounds pretty decent so far, and from the multiplayer beta, it sounds like it's going to be a good time.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Are you okay?
I'm sorry about that. When you said Terminator, for some reason, it made me think that you said it like invulnerability. It killed me. I thought you said like Terminator.
The Terminator?
Yeah, exactly. It's just Terminator. Like, oh my God, that killed me. I started Terminator. Laughing like insanely.
Terminator. So yeah, those are our reviews. We do have another interview to take care of. We're going to take a brief intermission, and then I'm going to be talking to my wonderful dear friend, Mustin, about the recently released Psychokinetic Earthbound album that just released from the Bad Dudes and from Fangamer. We're going to take a brief intermission, play a song from Psychokinetic, and then we'll chat with Mustin for an hour-ish or so. Or I'll talk to him. You're not there, so.
Yeah, I'm not.
But, yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that was happening today.
Yeah, see? This is the shit I do on my own. So, do you have any final words to end this segment before the music?
Yes. It's pronounced Terminator, not Terminator.
Terminator. My interview at this time, I am joined by the one, the only. What? Am I dead? What?
Are you dead?
Yes, I'm dead. Are you dead?
No. Did we just lag for a second?
I don't know. Did we?
Well, I asked you if you died and if we're dead, and there was just dead space.
That's weird.
Okay. It was great because I said, I'm ready, and then there was dead space.
Are you downloading a lot of porn?
Nope. Voice crack was perfect.
That was the guiltiest no I've ever heard.
Awesome.
No.
No. No, I am not, and I am ready to go.
All right, welcome back, everyone. My guest at this time, the one, the only, coming back to the show after 130-some episodes, Mustin, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It sounds like you're thrilled to be here.
Well, I'm 130 years old now.
Do you really not remember being on the show before?
I'm trying to forget.
Episode 100, actually.
Yeah, I remember episode 100.
That's still our highest views on YouTube is episode 100. Thanks to you.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting big numbers from this show right here.
Let's hope so.
I'm expecting double digits at least.
24
views. That's what we're going for. So Mustin, how are you? Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I am, I don't know. I think I'm in the middle of an existential crisis.
What's wrong? Talk to me.
Nah, I'm good. I'm just messing with you.
It's a big time for you right now. You have a new album with the Bad Dudes coming out. Just recently, we heard the news that the 1UPs are going to be back at MAGFest. It is like Mustin Central right now.
Yeah, and then I'm on this Christmas EP that was just released where I get to share the stage with some boner named Dale North and some other cool guys like Vince DiCola from who did the Transformer movie and Rocky IV score, and the guy who composed Myst and the guy who composed Secret of Mana. And it was just pretty cool.
So you have another project out, and I didn't even know about that one.
Yeah, it just got announced yesterday. Yesterday was a big day.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I did Yoshi's Island as a Christmas tune. It's adorable.
Sweet. Yeah, I definitely got to find that one. I had no idea that was a thing.
Yep.
So
that's how we do.
Let's start off with that. Tell me about this, because I legitimately don't know about this Christmas EP. What is it? When is it releasing? Where can we get it? How much is it?
It's Scarlet Moon, Jason Napolitano's company. It's the artist that he represents. They did a Christmas EP a couple years ago that had Dale on it, and I can't remember who else, honestly, but this one's out, and it'll be on iTunes and Spotify soon, but you can get it at louder.fm, and it'll show up on Google Play and Amazon if it's not there already.
I think it's called sent me a press release. I'm going to hunt him down.
I think it's called Scarlet Moon Christmas 2016.
Inventive name.
Yeah, it's better than what he had. It was like Christmas LP apostrophe 16. I don't like truncating the year. Just give me the year.
Because it could be 1916 when you think about it.
Or it could be 3016.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now everything is forever.
It is.
So let's be forward thinking, shall we?
Indeed.
Oh my god.
It's not as inventive a name as Psychokinetic.
No. That name came from, I think, John Kay at Fangamer. They pitched me that idea for a name and I loved it.
Nice.
I didn't name this one, which is weird.
I know. You usually control everything when it comes to Bad Dudes.
Just everything in general. I'm pretty controlling, but
You were the main dude of the Bad Dudes.
Yeah, but this one was a pretty pretty well-shared effort. Like the packaging and stuff, that was all Fangamer. But I did have some input there, which was nice to help make it look like our other previous projects, but
yeah, I saw the pictures of it, and it immediately took me back to the days of Xenogears Light.
Yeah,
being in the DVD style case.
They asked for the DVD style case. They wanted it to be clear. I pitched some ideas, and they ran with it. It was nice.
Nice. So, for the people who don't know what Psychokinetic is, considering that's going to be the bulk of what we talk about today, tell us what Psychokinetic is, how it came to be, all that other fun stuff.
Oh, let's see. I'm not sure if I remember.
Way back in 1943.
Oh, man. It was a long time ago. It was, I had demos of some of my tracks before I left the 1UPs.
Oh my god.
So this thing has been in the works for 3 or 4 years. And I can't remember exactly what happened, honestly, but I just knew somehow we talked about teaming up for a Earthbound album with Fangamer. And then it got lumped into their Kickstarter they'd launched called You Are Now Earthbound, which I think had a goal of 100,000 and passed well over 300,000.
God damn.
To have a Ness backpack that has a Earthbound guidebook and a fanzine and our album and just a bunch of other cool Earthbound related stuff in it. And so that really got going with the Kickstarter, where there were also four reward tiers that if you did like $512 or something, you could pick a track that would be on the album and that it would be arranged in the style that you chose. And also one of those Kickstarter pledge goals, I think it was like 200,000 or something, but it would be a second disc. And that's how it ended up being a two disc set, because they surpassed that. And then we had four people pick tunes that went on the album. And then we finished the bulk of it this year. And now it's done. And hopefully it'll be on iTunes and Amazon and Spotify soon. But it's going to be missing one track on each disc. Also, each disc is uploaded as a separate album because of licensing.
Ah.
So I took one of my tracks off of each disc, and you'll only get 11 on the digital. So if you want the full thing, get the physical before they run out of them. And they're on fangamer.com. It's called Psychokinetic.
It's only $15, which surprised me, for two discs, the awesome-ass packaging, 24 songs for only $15. That seems cheap.
Yeah, it's limited edition, baby.
I got to get one.
You should.
So what songs did you yank off?
What does that mean?
Which songs did you masturbate? No. what are the songs missing on the digital version?
Oh, okay. You really had me scratching my head there. On the digital version, on disc one, I took off my track We Feel Groove,
which was my mistress. I like that one too.
And on the disc two, I took off my Bag of Pork Chips track, which is His Highness's theme? Yeah. From Mother 3?
Yeah.
Everybody knows it from Smash Bros.
Everyone knows Smash Brothers.
That's how I knew it.
I mean, seriously, because Nintendo are dicks and still won't release Mother 3 in America.
Yep.
They need to cut that out.
They hate everybody.
It's getting stupid.
It is.
Getting stupid.
So yeah, I took those two off. I like them, but I have a lot of tracks on here, so I didn't want to take off anybody that only had one track or something, you know?
Did you ever consider doing just one disc of Mustin and one disc of everybody else?
No, actually, I didn't. That would have been a good idea.
Because I think you could get there. You're close to having half the songs on there.
Yep.
There's a lot of Mustin goodness on this album.
There is, and I had a hand in other stuff that wasn't me. Like, I recorded and edited and mixed and mastered both of Dishu's tracks, and I...
Friggin' Dishu.
I did all of the audio putting together of the Bad Dudes track, track 10, Master P, the final battle in Earthbound.
Yeah, I saw that in the liner notes, and it just says arranged and performed by Bad Dudes, where everything else has like who did what, and I guess there's just so many people involved in this one that it was just easier to say Bad Dudes.
Yeah, we just wanted to keep it you know, it's the only thing that the bad dudes have ever done as a collective, which I think is interesting. I mean, there's always been stuff where, like, you know, I've got Kunal playing drums for me, or Elshon plays guitar for Joshua Morris or whatever, but never before have we had just an actual arranged by bad dudes thing. But I put all that together like the big sweet potato pie.
Who's all involved in that one?
I can't say.
Is everybody involved in that?
Unfortunately, no.
Slackers.
Slackers.
So there's a hell of a lineup on this album. Like, the people involved in this project, like, this is a who's who of the bad dudes of the old school 1UP Studios releases, the old school guys of Overclocked Remix. This a lot of good friends on this.
Yep, it's a good one.
So tell us who's all included, who got involved, and how you came about getting these people together.
Well, at some point in time, all these people decided to join with us. I mean, I started the Bad Dudes a long time ago with, I don't even remember. I'm so poorly prepared for this interview.
It's okay. So am I.
I just got a group together of friends to do some cool music arranging. And I don't even remember when that was, but we just put out a free EP, and we did several free EPs for a while, and then came out with our Chronotorious album, which was a Chrono Trigger arrangement album that was very popular, and then followed it up with the Metroid 25th anniversary album.
And Ty and Guy, so, you can't forget Ty Guy.
Yeah, Ty Guy was a free one that we put out. Ty Guy was our, everybody does their own arrangement of Sagat's theme from Street Fighter II. And you'd think it would be obnoxious, but it was quite the awesome musical journey. But yeah, it's all the same dudes, except that this time, Bladiator and Danimal Cannon bowed out early. They just, I don't know, I guess Bladiator is just kind of like doing real life, and Danimal Cannon is just ridiculously busy. But everybody else had a little showing, which was nice. It was good. Joshua Morris, of course, was done like 4 years ago. Not even joking. Like, had his track all done and ready to go. And I'm thinking it was like 4 years ago. And Elshon was done about that time, too, with his hotel arrangement.
Really? Elshon got done with something early?
Yep. He was the second one done.
That doesn't make sense. Elshon is never done early, ever.
Well, I pulled him out to get a guitar on one of the tracks that I needed guitar on, which he's awesome. He's so the best. He's so, like, he's a guy you want to have on your side. I mean, I hate guitar players, but he's awesome. Yeah, so otherwise we have, you know, great lineup of classic bad dudes. Like I said, Dishu, Joshua Morris, Elshon. I got Mellow Gear to do something for me. We got Kunal and Poe, always. Tim Sheehy. And, of course, Dale North coming back.
Fucking North.
Yeah, that was pulling teeth to get him to that track. But, my God, it's the best track on the whole thing. It's ridiculous.
He totally ripped off that song from Bound Together.
Yeah, that's why it's called Home Again. I named it Home Again Again.
So good. By the way, I'm sad that I didn't get a thank you in the liner notes.
I'm sorry.
Earthbound. For years, I'm like, Earthbound, Bad Dudes, Earthbound, I need a thank you in the notes.
Well, we did your Bound Together project.
Pretty much, I think
12 years ago, I think that is now.
Yeah, I think everybody on here did something, though.
Jig and John didn't.
JJT didn't?
No. And I don't think Zyko did either. No.
Really?
Yeah.
That's hard to believe.
But yeah, Zyko. Everybody else was part of Bound Together.
Yep.
Even John Delvaux with his Paula theme, he did Paula for Bound Together, too.
Yep. Yeah, I had to get him to cut that down because I wanted to keep everything under 5 minutes for licensing.
Mm.
He was mad, but he did it for me.
So song length can affect licensing?
Yeah, if it's over 5 minutes, it costs more.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was kind of wondering why there were no like super long epics on this.
Well, because I got real burnt whenever we did that with the Metroid album. Joshua Morris did a 13-minute medley or some crap with a whole bunch of tracks in it. And I was like, I can't even with this right now. That guy is crazy prolific.
Man, this is I didn't even take note of the song lengths. There's like 450, 459, 459, 456.
Yep.
Damn. That's a hard cutoff.
I had to have Kunal do a fade out for me with his dragon track from Mother 3. Are you happy with the Mother 3 love on here?
Indeed. It's good to see some love to all the games in the series.
Yeah, it's not just Earthbound. It says Earthbound album, and I asked him, like, you know, hey, we got Mother 1, Mother 2, Mother 3 here. And they're like, well, we're just going to keep it on there. So it says Earthbound album on the cover. And I didn't notice this until yesterday, but on disc 1 and disc 2, the tracks 2, 3, and 4 on both of them are the only Mother 3 tracks. They're all three smushed together. I don't know why. But I always do. I like doing my track orders by like just the feel of it, and I guess those just felt the best together to me.
I'm looking, and on disc one, it's 3, 4, and 5.
Oh yeah, you're right. 3, 4, 5.
You fucked up, Mustin. You fucked up.
But on disc two, it's 2, 3, 4. But now that third track is going to be gone because I'm taking that off for the digital. So make sure you get the physical peoples.
How many physical versions are being made?
They made 2,000 and I think 1,400 or 1,500 of those were snatched up by the Kickstarter people, the Kickstarter backers, and I just snatched up 40 of them.
Jesus.
To my dudes. So everybody got 3 copies.
Damn.
And then that means there's like, what, 450 in the wild? So there's not a lot.
God, I hope they last. I hope they last until payday.
I don't think that they will reprint it either. So get on it.
Damn, that's not many copies. I had no idea it was going to be that limited. So I'm going to have to cut a bitch to get some money for this thing.
Do it.
I will.
Try it.
So who was the hardest to get back involved in this? Because I know some of these guys are like stupidly busy Dale. Anymore. Dale?
Yep. It was hard to get Dale. He ended up getting it done way before I totally needed it. We had a lot of close calls where we thought like we weren't going to make the deadline, but it turns out that even after 4 or 5 delays, which were not my fault, but just of the ebb and flow of trying to make some kind of Kickstarter project this big, we kept getting deadlines and then they would get pushed back. And on the second to last one, I was like, oh my God, you guys need to get this stuff in. And Dale got it to me at the 11th hour, 59th minute, and 59th second. But damn. Then it turned out that we had more time. So it was then it was me trying to get it together. What was the last thing I was stuck with? I don't remember. I was trying to finish up edits and stuff on everybody's, oh man, projects. It was crazy. Oh yeah, this John Bon Voyage. Okay, so this Mother 3 track, this was one of the Kickstarter backers. He wanted to hear Bon Voyage Amigo from Mother 3, and he wanted it in a bebop style. And I was listening to it, and it's like a kind of like a accordion tango-ish thing. But I finally got an idea. Or no, he wanted this in an 80s rock ballad. That's right. I was thinking of the Monkey's Delivery Service. Sorry. This Bon Voyage Amigo is like, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it, but he wanted it like an 80s ballad. So I just arranged it for an 80s ballad. And then I got El Sean to play guitar, which made it sound perfect. And then I called it John Bon Voyage Amigo, which makes me laugh every time I say it. But I was thinking of Door to Door Happiness, which is the track 5 from Mother 3, the arrangement of Monkey's Delivery Service. He wanted a bebop version of that, which was like this weird accordion tango, and that was hard to imagine. But once I got the idea for it, I put down my fake stuff, and then I had Nathan McLeod, good old buddy Nathan McLeod from the early One-Ups days.
The One-Up Mushrooms days
to record the saxophone for me, and that was perfect. And then Kunal has a friend, Derek Munson, who I like already because he sounds like Mustin. I got him to play live drums, which was great. And then Kunal was supposed to do the piano, but I just wasn't feeling it, man. He wasn't on the same page I was, so I just went back and did it myself, and I had to record a really fast piano solo, which was hard for me because I'm terrible at music. So that was one of those things where, like, it was in the last... Really, it was me that was, like, the hardest to get everything out of. But, I mean, other than that, you know, everybody was awesome. Everybody was awesome regardless. We really got some really cool stuff. Sometimes...
Dishu was okay, I guess.
Dishu, he's so good. Like, there's definitely times... I get to be more involved, like, with Ale Sean, Dishu, Kunal, Zyko. But, like, sometimes with some people, you just have to, like... Whatever you get is what you get, and whenever you get it. So, like, I got that track from Joshua Morris 4 years ago or whatever, and then, you know, haven't heard from him since.
Which is he's kind of disappeared in life.
I sent him the 3 tracks. I mean, he's around. It's just like there's no more work for him to do, you know. And like with Dale, just like, here's the track, boom. And it's so good to work with people that are so good because I don't have to worry. So I know when Dale got me his track, it was fantastic. Same thing with Poe. Like, Poe, you got your track yet? No, not yet. You got your track yet? No, not yet. And then one day he just sent it, and it's just fantastic, so I don't even have to mess with it. So that's just one of those things. It's crazy.
I think my biggest issue with Poe's song on the album is in the liner notes. There's capital letters in his song. Like, he
really?
Like, it arranged and performed by Po Suyan, there's capital letters there.
Oh, that's been that way for a long time.
Yeah, but he doesn't believe in capital letters, right?
Not on... he started capitalizing his name.
Really?
Yeah. Like years ago. But, I mean, his track titles never have capital letters.
Yeah. I was shocked to see any capital letters at all.
I think that's his great compromise. Is then he'll capitalize his name, but the track titles are still lowercase.
Wow. He'll always be lowercase to me. In my heart and soul, he'll always be lowercase. I'll even throw an exclamation point in there too.
There you go.
For Poe.
Old school.
So what was it like getting Diggy back in? Because I know he's been super busy with life, and I was kind of shocked to see him on there. I thought he was kind of done with music for the most part.
No, he's just really busy with life, like you said. He's got a kid now, and
who's adorable, you know, by the way.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of like mixing still and mastering. He's doing, you know, stuff for people over there in the Netherlands where he lives. He's always doing stuff for me when I need it. You know, he's staying busy, but he definitely has not been arranging. I think this was the first track he's done in a very, very long time. And I don't think he's done anything since, but he has been busy like that. Christmas album I just mentioned, he mastered that, and he mastered a couple of the tracks on here for me. So he's around. He's just busy working for himself. He has like an IT business over in the Netherlands, which keeps him busy.
And his kid, his adorable kid. Man, like everyone has kids. You have kids. Frankie has kids. Everyone's growing up. What's going on?
Yeah, that's the thing, man. Everybody's growing up. It's gross.
Dishu still looks like a kid.
Yeah, with a mustache.
He tries so hard to grow that mustache.
I think he's awesome.
This album is absolutely fantastic. I don't think there's a single song on here I don't like.
Well, that's good. We worked hard. I wanted to make sure that everything was totally the jam. And I worked hard to make sure that it was. So I'm in so much of this stuff. I'm really happy with this. I really tried to make stuff that I did feel like the feelings from the game. Like, you know, be not too out there. Like the my track Show Me What You Got, which is an arrangement of the like the dungeons and stuff. The first time you hear it though is when you fight Chief, what's his name?
Captain Strong.
Captain Strong, that's it. I was going to say Chief, but yeah, you hear it when you fight
Chief Strongbow. Chief J. Strongbow.
You fight his police people, which is really messed up for a kid's game. But playing through all the dungeons and stuff, I just wanted it to be like real driving and fighting, and I just hope that all this stuff fits in, you know, with the memories people have. Like my Onet, or Onet, or however people say it. I'd heard so many great upbeat arrangements of that. The Smash Bros. Version comes to mind. The 1-Ups used to do that. But I'd never heard it done anything other than that, so I made it sound really nostalgic, basing it off of Eric Satie's Jim and Lapide number one, which is why it's called Reminiscing number one. Which it turns out that music was actually in Mother 3, the classical music, the original. But yeah, I really just tried to get into the game, and then from there forge these ideas, and then hopefully they sound authentic. I wanted it to be really an authentic experience.
Nice. I'm glad you mentioned Show Me What You Got, because I think that is my favorite song on the album.
Sweet. I would love to get a really good girl glitch dancer, like that Amy Marie girl on Vine and Instagram, and then paint them like an android and then have them glitch dance to that track and make just like the trippiest music video. Because to me, it sounds like robots fucking.
That's why I like the song so much, because it's just robots fucking.
Maybe that's what it is. I mean, like I said, I was talking about trying to sound authentic and stuff, and I really did mean that, but at the end of the day, it really just sounded like robots fornicating to me.
I honestly got a heavy Nine Inch Nails vibe out of that song.
Cool. I love Nine Inch Nails.
I fucking love that song. That one, and I think Maze Dudes are some of my favorite.
Yeah. I know that I had, like, there was this weird drum kit that I have that has these weird, like, quiety robot sounds, like whoosh, 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 whoosh. And I use that underlying on my Show Me What You Got track, because it sounds like something that's actually in Earthbound. And then I have this one electric piano in there that I turned up the vibrato of it, so it sounds really slow and weird, and it sounds like a sound directly out of Earthbound too. I was trying to, like, you know, put it all together. I did that really hardcore on this on the There Is No Turning Back Now track from Disc 2. That one was a Kickstarter person. They said they wanted an arrangement of music from the cave of the present, which when you go in there in the great underworld,
mm-hmm.
it's just that little truncated piece of All You Need Is Love by the Beatles. At the beginning of that track, they play the little French fanfare. And if you take the first three notes, it goes ba ba ba. And they took that, you know, the Earthbound composer guys, and snipped that, and then they slowed it down and added just crazy delay to it. And that's all it is. That's all it is. It does that, and then I pitch it down, and that's the entire piece of music. So it's like, what, 5 seconds or something?
Yeah.
So you wanted that mixed with when you go back in time as the robots, it's the music. I think it's called The Place is the name of the original piece, but it's just this weird, this atonal, strange thing that there's only one part of it that's really musical. It's like these stacked 7 chords that move. But it's just crazy, and I didn't know how in the world I was going to do something with that. But I just remember where Dr. Andonuts was telling you that you gotta transfer your brain to a robot and go back in time, and there's no guarantee that we can bring you back. And I'm like, are you ready? There's no going back now. And I was like, okay. So I just thought about how in the world to make these two, quote, pieces of music, unquote, because they were hardly anything, into something. And man, I have never worked harder on something, and I've never been prouder of something than that track. And thankfully, the person, that Kickstarter backer, did liked it too. Everybody who backed it on Kickstarter, their tracks, they really liked him, which was nice.
Do you think when he made that request, he was just fucking with you? Like, yeah, let's see you do this.
I had to clarify, because he said he wanted the music of the Great Underworld, which has a different theme. You know, it's got the little drums and the little whistle. Boop, 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 boop. But that's what it's called on the actual Japanese album. It's called The Great Underworld, and it has the music. And so I sent him specific YouTube videos, like, you want this and this? And he said, yeah, that's what I want. I'm like, oh, my God.
Are you fucking crazy?
So it was a real challenge, but I'm glad that I had it. It really got to exercise my brain. And I had a really fun time putting that together, because the first part of it is the cave when you go in there. And And I just got to mess with that little part, which is the Beatles. And then in the middle, I put in like these robot sounds, like the scene where he's turning you into robots. And I got to like really play with the sound design and stuff on that with this big swell that signifies that you are back in time. And then just this huge atmosphere of this crazy sound that I don't know how they even made it. Like this, I mean, this is still one of the greatest soundtracks ever, the original Earthbound. It's just so creative, and there was not anything like it on the Super Nintendo, and some could say since. So it was really fun to get to really mess with it, because I don't think like that. That's what I say a lot about people who make art. I wish I could do that, but I don't think like that. And so I really had to exercise my brain to try to get out of my comfort zone.
It's crazy how much music was just like straight up plagiarized in Earthbound.
Yeah, there's a lot of it. It's kind of wild, but it made for a real masterpiece.
It did. All these years later, people still come up to me and they'd be like, "Dude, are you the Bound Together guy?" I'm like, "Yeah, why?" It's like, I still listen to that daily. I'm like, "Why? What is wrong with you?"
But it's still really good.
Yeah, it's just the music. It's gonna live on forever. It's just good shit.
Yeah, John DelVoe, formerly Metal Gear, his version of that. The place on Bound Together was a big inspiration for me. I was like, this guy can turn this into music. I know I can. What is that? The Robots versus the Bullshit Samurai? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's still one of my favorite songs off Bound Together, too.
Somehow he did it. And I figured, well, I can do it, too. Yeah, mine's very different, but...
Dude is crazy.
It's definitely inspirational.
So what are some of your favorite songs on Psychokinetic? Not including your own, because that's cheating.
Yeah, well, I don't know if there are any that aren't mine. There's Dale's track. I didn't have anything to do with that. I really liked Kunal's a lot, the dragon.
Yeah.
Originally is the Mecha Dragon fight in Mother 3. That one was really interesting. He really did a good job just making a nice groove. I like it a lot. I love John's Paula track. It's just so weird. He's so creative, like with the weird ambiance and, you know, the doors opening and coming in and putting down your keys and the cat meowing, like. I just don't know. I don't think like him. I don't know how he comes up with that stuff and his big crazy drums. I'm glad he got JJT to play real trumpet on that track too. It's such a neat melody. Ba 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 ba. Do you know how that was used in the first game? I never played Mother 1, so I don't even know.
No, but I'm not sure how it was used there. I've tried so many times to play the original Mother game, and it's just so hard to get into.
Yeah. Joshua Morris's track is great. I mean, they're all good. I like them. I was really, really, really excited about... I handled 3 of the 4 Kickstarter backer requests, but one person asked for... The Hero's Return after you beat the game. And they wanted that done in a post-rock sound. And I really was excited about trying that because I really like that kind of music. I ended up just passing it to JJT saying, you know, I think you would do this better than me. And he did, and he came back with the demo. And I said, man, this is fantastic. I sure wish we can get live drums. And he said, man, you're going to spoil the surprise, because he had already lined up a drummer to play on it. And it just came out fantastic. And I think it's just such a good way to wrap it all up. It was such a good request, too, to take that theme and turn it into this post-rock music. And I thought the little Radiohead tribute was funny, because Radiohead, I think it's Kid A, maybe. I'm not a Radiohead fan, but there is a track on there that's called Exit Music, and then For a Film. And so he took that name, Exit Music, and put For a Game on this one.
Nice.
Which I thought was cute. But that one, I still listen to that a lot. I had to shelve it once it was done, because my wife was really tired of hearing it, because I was working on it so much, these damn 24 tracks. But I still really like it a lot.
Something I noticed on this album, it seems like everyone found ways to sneak in the cum shot.
Really?
I it's something that has kind of died out in our group of friends for a while. It kind of like hit its peak a while back, but it seems like every other song I listen to, I don't know if it's just by coincidence or if people are sneaking it in there, but it seems like this album is just covered in jizz with all the cum shots in it.
I didn't even like, I have no conscious effort on my part to do that at all, and I didn't even notice it in anybody else's. Oh wait, you know what, there is one in Joshua Morse's track, I know that, but I don't know anywhere else.
I'm pretty sure Poe's got one. I'll have to go back and listen through, because it seemed like every other song when Ashley and I were driving around, I was like, was that another one? Oh my god, it was. And I don't know if it's just like, if I'm hearing things because it's been so long that it just sounds familiar enough. But yeah, I'm not shocked that Joshua Morse did it.
Yeah, I don't know. I know he did for sure, now that I think about it, but I can't hear the one in Pose in my head. But go back and circle them. Put a little sticker on it and let me know.
I'll take notes and send them over. Oh, man. So the other news that just came out recently is the 1UPs are going to be at MAGFest again.
Yep.
I'm so excited.
Are you?
Yeah. You sound just as excited.
Yeah. Oh, God. We just had practice last night for the first time in a long time. And we're not going to be able to have a lot of practice, because everybody's traveling and Tim's in school. I'm going to be gone for half of December. William and Jared were gone to Mexico and Florida last month for 3 weeks. It's just been crazy. And we're supposed to put together this huge show. So yeah, we got a lot of classic stuff. And we, I don't know how much I can say, but it's MAGFest 15, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to do this like a quinceañera vibe.
Oh God.
Which is really exciting. So,
yeah, I saw them announce that you guys are playing the Mag Prom, and I think they said you guys are doing 3 sets.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of music.
It is. It's a 3-hour ordeal. So
God damn.
We are, we're going to get into that quinceañera vibe. So get ready for some of the Latin throwbacks and some new ones. And then, we're going to party into the night with some super, super funky stuff. So, yeah, get ready for some good times. There's some stuff that people love, and then there's going to be a lot more that people haven't heard. So that's cool.
And anything fun that you could tease us with?
I guess just don't miss the middle part where they're doing the quinceañera. It's going to be nuts. I'm excited. I think, yeah, after last night, we got a lot of the cobwebs out, on some of the old stuff. I'm really working hard. I'm practicing every day. I'm switching back and forth between my bass and my synth. So.
Oh, you're going to be playing bass.
Yep. It's like a half and half.
Could we see the return of the old school funk set?
I'm looking at the list and no.
Oh. Is Boomer Quanger going to make a comeback?
No.
God damn it. That's still one of my favorite songs that you guys have done.
Yep. I think we just got a comment recently on the YouTube channel about it. People love that stuff.
Now, sneak it in. Still time. Any kind of fun guests that you guys are working on getting to be part of the show?
Yeah, we're going to have a few people, so it's going to be interesting. I don't know what I can say, but we're looking at having 7 on stage.
7 guests or 7 people?
7 people.
Nice. Any past members of the band coming back?
Just Coonbag.
I haven't heard Coonbag in a while.
Yeah. Kunal Majmudar is our homie. He's going to be playing.
Oh my God, Coonbag. I love that name.
I don't think he does.
I know he doesn't.
Just for obvious reasons.
I wonder if he's still in my phone as Coonbag. For the longest time, he was.
We'll never know.
That's the kind of friendship that we have.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I kind of figure Kunal would be a part of the festivities. He seems to always pop up. Yeah, he's still in here as Coonbag. Oh my God. That's fantastic. Poor guy.
He's going to be rocking out. We're going to have a good time. I think old school fans are going to be real happy, and new school fans are going to be real happy. And we hope to make a lot of new fans.
Well, you guys have a pretty marquee spot playing the prom, especially playing as big a set as you guys are.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
Gonna be crazy, man. Gonna be crazy. Are you excited for 15th MAGFest?
Yeah, I'll be excited once the show's over, because we play Thursday night, and then after that, we have no responsibilities, and we're going to be there till Sunday, so I'll just be chilling and having fun.
Nice. Hopefully, I'll get to spend some more time with you this year than last year for how busy everyone was last year.
Yeah, I'm really hoping to not have to do a bunch of crap, because this is Thursday. Last year, we played on a Saturday, I think, and it's just too much hoopla.
Bringing the wife and kids this year?
No, just rolling Senior Macho solo. One year I'll bring the kiddos, but this is not that year.
Gonna save it for a year that you're not playing?
No, because I want my kids to see me play so they know that everybody likes me, even though they don't.
Gotta stroke that ego. Look at all my adoring fans, kids. I'm important.
I need them to know what I am doing so that when they ask me for stuff, I can tell them
that they're not worthy. Once they play their first show, I'll consider it.
Oh, my Lord. Good stuff. Good stuff. I seriously can't believe it's 15 years of MAGFest.
Yep. What a ridiculous thing.
We're some of the old school guys. We were there at the first one.
I remember. It was awful.
Yeah, you had to meet me.
That's right.
All these years later, and you're still putting up with me.
God dang it, dude. That's a long time.
It is.
Oh, why do we do this? We're so old.
We are.
Like we're supposed to go home and be family men.
We're old and dying. And I'm surrounded by cats.
Yeah, you're already dead.
Yeah. My soul's been gone a long time.
Fantastic.
I have no future. On that note, it's been about an hour, so I'm going to let you get going and enjoy your day.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure having you back on. Hopefully we'll get you back sooner than later. And okay. Hopefully with some of the other guys on.
Maybe another 4 years when I make another album.
I hope so. I hope it's not that long. When is the next One Ups album anyway? Guys got something in the works?
Everybody's so busy. We put out part 7 in February. And we announced Street Fighter 2, but I don't know what's going to happen. I will tell you that I've recorded almost all of my parts and just need them to do theirs, but we've got to get this MAGFest thing done and then see what happens next year. And I want to be a lot more prolific. I want to, you know, everybody's still wondering, where's Volume 3? And I would like to get that stuff recorded, but everybody's got different ideas, and I don't know. It's different priorities, different work going on.
So people are asking for Volume 3 when you've already released Part 7?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, you know, we were supposed to do, like, all that stuff on Volume 3. We were supposed to do, like, the Dire Dire Docks and the Secret of the Forest and... You know, all this stuff that we have, like, on our YouTube channel that never came out, or, like, you know, studio recordings. So I would like to do all that. I mean, we have, you know, enough stuff to fill up 2 or 3 discs that we've not recorded. But I don't know.
You guys have changed style so many times over the years that it seems weird that you would go back to an old style to release new albums of like how the band used to be. It seems like you guys focus more on evolving than regressing back.
Well, I mean, the songs for the recently deceased album, the 6th album, was a lot like the old style. It had, you know, horns and jazz stuff.
You like the jazzy stuff.
I just like what is good. My favorite track on that album was the Legend of Zelda's Labyrinth piece, which was just like a couple of drums, a bass playing long notes, keyboard, guitar, and then a vibraphone player. Fantastic. Just this really weird, desolate arrangement of the Labyrinth from The Legend of Zelda. That was awesome.
The whole album was great. Did you guys ever do a physical release of that album?
Yeah.
Because I don't have that. I figured that was digital only for some reason.
No, we have everything. It'll be at MAGFest.
Huh. Yeah, because I got part 7 at MAGFest last year, and I didn't see songs from Recently Deceased, so I figured that just wasn't a physical thing.
Yeah, it's there, man.
Well, I'm picking one up this year, then. Make sure you have one for me.
I will. We have all 7 albums. They're all, uniform now, which I wish I had done in the first place, but they're all in the same kind of jewel case.
Mm.
So it's all very uniform.
Does that mean Mario Kart albums in a jewel case now?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I'll have to repick that one up then. I got to have your whole collection.
It's not any different. It's just in a jewel case.
I still have where's that one? Oh, I can't find it. Let's see, my Super Mario Kart album where it says, it's all for you, Mustin, and then you flip it over and it says, go fuck yourself.
Tremendous.
So I still have that album from you. And then wonderful. And then my sealed copy, because I always buy two of your stuff.
Yeah, you're already dead.
I know.
So yeah, I just hope that people go check out this Psychokinetic album and check out that little Christmas track that I did on the Scarlet Moon Christmas 2016 album.
Now, give us all the plugs. Where can we find you? Where can people get your music?
You can look at mustin.net, mustin.net, and you'll find me. I'm really active on Twitter, not on Facebook. I mean, I am on Facebook, just not active. And if you ever need to reach me, email is best. That's on my website. Yeah. And, I'm trying to, or I'm going to have, actually you can get it right now on Louder. But I am re-releasing, the More Than Mario album. And it has updated tracks, that have been like re-recorded and remixed and remastered.
Ooh.
And we never licensed that album, so it's licensed now. So it's missing, I think, a couple of things. But so yeah, More Than Mario is coming back out from Dale North and Mustin. And then I have an album called Origins that is my first ever like album that just has my name on it. And it has all of these tracks that were previously released but out of print. So like my Project Majestic Mix tracks are on there from that, and Square Dance, and just a couple of things that nobody, like really rare things, and then one new one I did from Banjo-Kazooie. I did Mad Monster Mansion. And that'll be out any minute. So that's, buying that would be very helpful to me and my ability to eat.
So I have a lot of shit that I need to buy off you.
I guess so. And then I'm finally going to release this album that I've been working on for over 10 years that I was calling The World of Square. It's just Squaresoft, like old school Squaresoft stuff. I finished the first track like in 2003 or something. And so I'm going to release it through Scarlet Moon Records. So I'm excited about that. And hopefully I'll have that done by my birthday in March.
Nice.
Almost done.
It's only been a decade.
Only been more than a decade. I get some more stuff out with just my name on it. I'm working on it.
Man, over a decade.
Yeah. Lord.
Good Lord, we are old and dying. Mustin, thank you again for doing this. It has been a pleasure talking to you. I can't wait to see you in January at MAGFest and to watch the one-ups tear the house down once again. Do you have any final words to end the show?
Please buy the stuff that I've made. Please. I love you.
Nope.